tonight, I'm going to change my plans. I'm not going to do what I planned to do tonight. I had a sermon all prepared, all outlined, in fact, much earlier than I had the one outlined for this morning. But I feel that God wants me to chat with you for a while tonight. Sort of a fireside chat. Like a father would talk to his children. Like a pastor would chat in his counseling in the study. So I'm going to ask that everybody listen. Just everybody listen. No talking at all tonight. No talking at all. Everybody listening. Everybody. I'm going to chat with you for a while. And I'm not sure I'll be preaching. In fact, I'll be honest with you. I do not have a point one, point two, point three, and so forth. I jotted down some things I wanted to say. There's not even the usual continuity that I have when I preach. But I want to talk to you on this subject, and it's a chat, not a sermon. I want to talk to you as a father would talk to his children on the subject, the right crowd. Now, somebody might say, when I'm preaching, and especially when I get through, he had me in mind. No, that isn't true. I'm sure that if I tried, I could think of 35 people that I know who need this message tonight. And I'm sure if I tried, I could pick out any one of those, and you might say it was to you. The truth is, it's not to anybody, it's to my people. It's to all of us. I'm not trying to hurt anybody, I'm trying to help you. But I want you to listen to what I'm going to say tonight. Don't make me be funny to keep your attention. Don't make me holler and stomp, though I may do some of that, but don't make me do it. I'd like for you tonight to give me your attention because we're having a little family get-together, and I want to chat with you. God's command said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And he goes on and uses several figures of speech. Light and darkness cannot coexist. Neither should unbelievers and believers be yoked together. God and Belial cannot coexist. Neither can believers and unbelievers coexist. There's no way that righteousness, and get every word of this sentence, there's no way that righteousness can fellowship with unrighteousness and remain righteousness. For fellowshipping with unrighteousness is unrighteousness in itself. Now, all of us know God doesn't want us to drink. We're fundamentalists. We believe the Bible. We know what the Bible says about drinking. We know what the Bible says about the thou shalt not. We know the things we're not supposed to do. We know what we're not supposed to read. We hit that an awful lot. We know what we're not supposed to sing. We discuss that regularly. But now, here we have a strange command. It says, come ye out from among them. From among whom? Unbelievers. Because God does not want his people yoked up with unbelievers. Now, let me say, be nice to them, but they shouldn't be your best friends. Be friendly to them, but you shouldn't go with them on dates. Be courteous to them, but don't start a business with them. be friendly and gracious and kind and helpful to them and feed them when they're hungry, clothe them when they're naked, help them when they're poor, but do not make them your best friends. Now, why does God say this? Why does God tell us not to be yoked up with unbelievers and to come out from among them and be separate? Why? Here's the why. God doesn't want you doing evil. Well, you said, then why didn't he tell me not to do evil? And why did he tell me not to yoke up with unbelievers? Here's why. Listen to this very carefully. Unbelievers are likable people, usually. They have nothing to fight, which makes them not fighters, which makes them likable. They have nothing for which they're crusading because nothing is wrong. Consequently, God knows that the most, and I mean this, the most personable people in the world, for example, are liberal preachers. Every once in a while somebody says to me, well, I just don't see why we fundamentalists can't be as nice as the liberals can be. Well, I do. We shouldn't be that nice. We shouldn't be that nice. If the liberal hangs around us, he can go no way but up. I don't care who the fella is. Listen, you know what? The girls in First Baptist Church in Hammond are the type of girls that every old wicked devil that's as immoral as the devil is wants to marry when he settles down. That's why they want us. Girls, they want you. They want your kind. And there's not a young lady in this room tonight who couldn't get a husband rather quickly. I think I'm going to have a lot of folks at my study door after the service. If you settled for anybody. Now, God not only does not want you separating from evil, but God wants you separating from evildoers because to know the evildoer is to like him. They have no cause to champion. They have nothing to fight. And so all they have to do is be sweet. I mean, here's a liberal preacher. I mean, he's not against rattlesnakes or communism or cancer or ragweed or Poland count. He's not against anything. All he has to do is smile and say, God bless you, God bless you, the Lord bless you, the Lord bless you. Well, I can't compete with that kind of sweetness because I'm mad at the devil. And I don't intend to be as kind as a liberal preacher is. I mean, I intend to stay mad at some things. Consequently, you go to hear a liberal preacher preach, unless you're pretty spiritual, and then you go hear him on Sunday morning, hear me on Sunday night, you're going to like him better than you like me, unless you're mighty spiritual. Why? I don't know why. A fellow who hates something and crusades for something and fights something is not going to be as suave as the fellow who hates nothing. Now that means because they are more likable than we are, we're not supposed to hang around them. Here's what happens. To know them is to like them. To like them is to hate their sin less. When you get to know them, listen, when you get to know them, and then you like them, what a warm personality, what a friendly fellow he is, what a nice lady she is, what a good personality he is, then you like them. After you like them for a while, their evil does not seem as evil as it did before, and sin is no longer exceeding sinful. Then what's the next step? The next step is that leads you to condoning what they do. First, you're with them. Second, you like them. Third, you hate their evil less. Listen, some of the nicest guys I know in this world are bartenders. When my dad was sober, you wouldn't have wanted for a nicer fella. Honestly, my dad would have given you the shirt off his back when he was sober. A nice fella. Now, does that mean that my kids are supposed to run with bartenders like my dad was? Of course not. Why? The very niceties that they possess cause them to be suave, pleasant, and winsome. As we are influenced by their winsomeness, then we like them. Their sin becomes less sinful. We soon condone what they do. Though we don't do it, we embrace their doctrine of inclusivism. Everybody has their own convictions, and let's not be unkind, and let's include everything, and before you know it, you're doing what they did. Now, what's the safe thing to do? Don't run with them. Just don't run with them. You know, when I first came to Hammond, listen to me, when I first came to Hammond, I had a real battle on my hands. Nobody knew me much. I sometimes wonder if the pulpit committee had checked on me more carefully if they'd ever called me. If you had known what I really was, you probably wouldn't have voted for me, many of you. But I was new. I mean, all of the civic clubs invited me to attend. I went to Rotary, Kiwanis, Lions, Tigers, Elephants, Zebras, and all the rest. I went to the Eastern Star and the Northern Moon. No, I didn't go that far. I was wined and dined. No, I'm sorry. I was watered and dined. I was asked to attend the real estate meeting in Hammond. Why? Because I was the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, and in those days the church had some convictions that I didn't embrace. For example, the church had beach parties. The girls thought nothing of wearing shorts to youth activities. Now, I was new. In Texas, I had been what I am here now. When I walked down the street, people said, "That's him." And here I was with a new chance. Wouldn't it have been? In fact, it was easy. And one day I had to shake myself good and hard and say, "Jack, you never have preached that the gospel is popular. And you'd better stand up and just pull every switch in the board. And let her up!" I know something about it. Listen. Jim Lyons and I even drove down to Anderson, Indiana and attended the American Baptist State Meeting. When they introduced the speaker, Reverend Mrs. Somebody, and she spoke on the blessings of the whites and coloreds intermarrying, I realized I was in the wrong crowd. Now you listen to me. If I was tempted, most of you would be tempted. If I could run with a crowd that does not embrace what I believe and be tempted, you could do the same thing. You know, I go preach to certain groups. And you know, I like to be liked. Everybody likes to be liked. And some, they don't know who I am. They just know our Sunday school's large, and we have a large church, and I preach around the country, and so some guy that doesn't know me is up introducing me. And here the people are, and he says something like this: "We're honored to have one of God's choicest servants tonight. Everybody loves Dr. Jack Hyams." Boy, I love that. That sounds so pretty. And the people are waiting to hear Dr. Jack Hyams speak. And I'm sitting there looking at what I know they're going to hear. And I say, if they just knew what's coming. Now, you think it is a tempting sometime for me to preach on 15 reasons why God loves everybody? Don't you think so? Now, most of the places I go, everybody knows me and they know. But sometimes I sneak in a place through the back door. They don't know me. Now, what I've got to do is quickly take my stand in a hurry. Because before you know it, you run the wrong crowd, you like the wrong crowd, you embrace what them, but not what they do. Before you know it, you'll be sitting at a table where people drink. You don't drink, but you'll be sitting there where they do drink, and you won't think it's real bad. Before you know it, you'll be sitting at a table where folks are smoking and using bad language, and before you know it, you won't think it's real bad. And there's not a person in this room tonight, I don't care who you are, that can do that very long without participating soon in the thing that they are doing that you used to detest and now you condone and someday you'll practice. Some of you heard me tell illustration about this. I had a date one time when I was in high school with a girl who went to Woodrow Wilson High School in Dallas. I went to W.H. Adamson High School. We played Woodrow Wilson in football, and we agreed that we'd sit on Adamson's side in those days, and maybe they still do. I haven't been to a game in so long. But we went to P.C. Cobb Stadium, and on one side, Woodrow Wilson's fans sat. On the other side, Adamson's high school fans sat. So we sat together on the Adamson side for the first half. And, of course, I had a time cheering. Yay! Yay! Every time we'd make a first down, yay! And so at halftime, we went over to Wilson's side. Well, I got caught up in the game. We had a pretty good drive going the first to the second half. Well, I fell in a pretty good game, and I went, yay! I forgot where I was. I was no longer in the Adamson crowd. No longer was everybody saying, yay! I was the only one saying yay then. And so the next time we got a good play, I said, whoopee! And the next time I felt it inwardly. What happened? I was in the wrong crowd. That's exactly what you did. You go with a boy that's not the right kind, that's exactly what you'll do. Listen, for a while, I hear them, they talk to me by the dozens. Listen, the same old song and dance, every one of the guys use the same language when I talk to them. They say there's something different about your girls. Okay, leave them alone and sing. Stay different then. Something different about your girls. But you let that girl hobnob with that boy for a while, and there won't be any difference in our girls in the crowd he's been with sooner or later. Because he's the guy that ruined the other girls. You go out to eat tomorrow with Dr. Hilton, Fisk, Sullivan, Billings, Hiles, Colston, Vineyard, and Bortway. And you take us, you pay the bill. And you're hosting us. You know what you're going to do right before we eat? You're going to say to one of us, would you please lead us in prayer? And we're going to pull out the prettiest prayer we've got and say it. But you go to the same restaurant the next day by yourself and see what you do. You'll just do about like, I will. That's about all you'll do. I say. Or you'll take your napkin and you'll gently fold it and look at your napkin. So everybody will think you're folding your napkin. Why you're saying, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us now in the time of our death. Now you know it's true. You know it's true. Now you go on and take that further and you go out to eat with some people and every one of them order martinis and let's see what you do. You won't even go over. You'll just say it inwardly to keep from embarrassing them. Who do you think you're trying to fool? You're trying to keep embarrassing somebody, but it's not them. It's the fellow you shave in the morning. Now you listen to me. There is no way in this world that you can run with the wrong crowd and turn out right. None. 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 When I represented the fundamentalists in America in a debate for Christian Life magazine, as you know, we had a liberal, Dr. Ford, from over here at Garrett Seminary in Chicago, and a middle-of-the-roader from another college around this area. It was a lady, and I think a converted lady. But when something be discussed like this, is the Bible the Word of God or not? And I'd say it is. That didn't offend Dr. Ford. He's a liberal. He doesn't care. He just thinks, well, that's mighty sweet. Whenever he grows up, he'll grow out of that. I used to believe that myself when I was ignorant. But when they'd say, what do you think about that, Dr. Ford? And he says, I don't believe the Bible's Word of God. That made me burn all over. I want to see blood. Now, that's the reason that the converted professor from another seminary, another college in the area, liked the liberal more than she liked me. She jumped to his defense and attacked me. Why? He was more likable than I was. There's no way in the world. Listen, there is no way in this world that the fundamentalist can compete with a liberal when it comes to personality. Too many things make us mad. He's one of them. See? You say, well, I think God will love the sinner and hate the sin. Well, that's a mighty pretty little speech. And I think it is the ultimate. But brother, if I had to choose, I'd rather hate too much sin and even get a little corner of the sinner in the picture too. And to love the sinner so much, I learned to love the sin. I wrote my mother's one time. I think I told you this. Mother not only hates wrong, she hates everybody that does wrong. She's here tonight. She knows it. She's really a stubborn little cuss. Now, no joke. She really is. She said, son, what you been doing today? And I said, Mother, I said, yeah, it's been a rough day. She said, well, what? And I said, you know what I've had in my office today? I said, I won a prostitute from Calumet City came to my office today and I won her to the Lord. And my mother said, you didn't let her in your office, did you? And I said, well, sure. Well, you didn't have to. And I said, but Mother, I mean, after all, I was trying to help her.
Well, you can help her a distance. Couldn't you have won over the telephone?
See? Now, I don't think she really has the proper perspective on it. And I think she needs a little bit of training. But America was built on gals like that. And you can trim a little bit off of what she's got that's bad a lot easier than you can give conviction to a person who's got a jellyfish backbone. Now, that's what, by the way, that's the reason I don't get very close to the new evangelical crowd. Yeah, they're saved. I don't hang around them. Why? I want two fences between me and the liberal. I want two barriers. I don't want the liberal right next to me. I want to have the liberal and the new evangelical both between me and liberal. Let me give you a few warnings tonight. By the way, let me say this, and I'm just chatting with you now. That's one reason why Russia is not so bad anymore. 20 years ago, a fellow had mentioned detente with Russia. He had been suspicioned as a communist. What happened? Mr. Nixon went over there and wined and dined with them, and now they're okay. Why? Mr. Brezhnev was invited. And the dirty murderer was asked to speak free on television to all of our people. He ought to be in a penitentiary. Now he's okay. Now we like Russia. Why? She's as sorry as she ever was. She's as godless as she ever was. She is against this book like she always was. She hates decent like she always did. She hates freedom like she always did. She's the same old devil that's sent to conquer the world and kill the preachers and burn the Bibles that she always was. But we don't hate it anymore. You know why? Because we've wined and dined with her. Same thing with Red China. Well, I can recall when you mentioned the word Red China in America, every politician we had wanted to fight. And I cried myself to sleep the night we admitted Red China to the United Nations. We didn't have enough sense to know the day would soon come to where an Arab criminal would come and address the United Nations. A guy that has authored out illegal, had been an outlaw and a pirate of the airways. We invited him to come, and now America is in the minority in the United Nations. Why? Because we ran with the wrong crowd. I stood up and told you, when I, as pastor of this church, that if we set up diplomatic relations with Red China and God of the United Nations, I told you one of these days we'd be in the minority, and we are. Why? Because we hung around the sinner so much, his sin's not as bad as it used to be. Same thing about communism. There's some of us who can remember that a communist wouldn't have been allowed out of jail long enough to be on television. Folks, don't you... What's this gal's name that has this Mia's magazine? Stenholm Steinem. That bitch is wearing hussy. I don't know what her name is. She says, I wouldn't call her that. Then don't. You call her what you want to call her, I'll call her what I want to call her. Do you know... You'd have to look a long ways to find a fundamentalist lady that could appear on television with her and win the hearts of the people over her personality. She's sharp. You know, rarely ever do you ever see a fundamentalist on television who comes out looking like the winner when he's against Miss O'Hare, Madeline Murray O'Hare. Or this Ms. gal? Then why? Why is it? In the first place, they stack the deck against you. Everybody listen.
Everybody listen.
They stacked the deck against you. In the second place, brother, Mrs. Evans is down here on the front. I'll use her. She has a delightful personality, and if I wanted some lady to represent us, I'd be glad to choose Miss Evans. She's handicapped because of situation at home, but now, she's a nice lady, and I'd go ahead. Listen, can you feature Maureen Evans on a television talk show with Madeline Murray O'Hare? Huh? Or with this gal, Stenhams, something? Can you imagine it? Say, fella, you've talked enough for tonight. You know, can you imagine it? Why, Mrs. Evans would knock a fire out of her for us over. Either that or she'd be looking for a job. You say, do you think she ought to hit her? Of course I don't think she ought to hit her. But nobody's perfect. I think it'd be wrong for her to hit her. But since everybody has some wrong, that's as near no wrong as you'll ever have. Now listen to me. Yeah, people say, well, I went with those boys at Howells Anderson College, and I went with them, and they're just a bunch of Pharisees. That sure beats that loose buzzard you've been running with. And I'd rather have a fellow who's a little bit too hard and harsh against wrong than a fellow that's as loose as some of the crowd some of you girls have been going with. There's nothing that quite shows what a girl has as what kind of boy she drags into the services. You say, are you condoning Pharisaism? No, I'm not. But I'll take a Pharisee over a Sadducee any day. I'm not for it, but I am for hating wrong. And if you get a little too mad sometimes, like the guy in East Texas that was a preacher that cussed out the devil in the pulpit, cussed a blue streak, I told you about him. I don't think you ought to do that. Old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say he knew a fellow that cussed all the time, but never cussed anybody out, didn't need a cussing. Now a little bit of advice. A few warnings. This is especially dangerous to single young ladies who are getting older and still not married. Now, listen to me carefully. When you get up in years and still aren't married, like 18, 19, you'd be surprised. They come to my office at 19 and worried sick. Not even branded yet. I mean, not even pre-engaged. And before you know it, if you don't watch out, you'll take any old thing that comes along and wears trousers. Excuse me. Now everybody wears trousers. The old thing comes along and has short... No, you can't say short hair either. Well, you just take any old thing, calls him a male, has a beard, that comes along. It's awful dangerous. Young ladies, if you're getting up 25, 26, 27, 28, 30, 31, 32, don't you sell yourself short. Don't you do it. I believe God has somebody for you He'll give you if you'll wait and not lower your principles. And if He never does, you'll be a lot better off than living a life of misery and ruin with somebody who's not your kind. Watch it, girls. Watch it. Watch it. Watch it. Second crowd I'd like to warn tonight are those girls in high school who don't get dates easily. They don't get dates easily. If you don't watch it, you'll take anything that comes along from outside. because you want to have a date and you want to have a boyfriend. I can see them coming in the auditorium of the church. Tonight, I can stand here and just, I can see them. I'm seeing it right now. Back in the back of the balcony in the auditorium we just left a few months ago. I can see a couple, one of our young ladies, one of the finest young ladies we had, grew up in our church, fine young lady. I can see her sitting back on the back row of the balcony. I can still see the fella sitting beside her, has a white shirt, he has no tie on, he has the leather jacket. I'm not against leather jackets, I just don't think the church is the place to wear them. It's okay to wear them hunting or something like that, but I don't think the church is the place to wear them. I still believe in propriety. They believe in dressing to suit the occasion. By the way, you can tell more about what a fellow is by how he dresses than almost any other way, if you want to know something. I can see him now. I didn't like his looks. You say, well, you shouldn't judge a person by the way he looks. Well, nobody's perfect, and that's my fault. But I'm not so sure it's too big a fault. I see a fellow coming in here with a shorts on, undershirt on, basketball shirt, number on the front, dripped in a basketball, and has on tennis shoes. I don't think it's too sinful to say he's a basketball player. He's dressed like one. Fans have news to say that if something looks like a duck, and has webbed feet like a duck, and has down like a duck, and swims like a duck, and quacks like a duck, you may assume that the thing is a duck. I can see that couple. Now, this particular girl was a little heavyset. And she did not have her telephone ringing off the wall with invitations for dates, though she was a lovely girl. My heart sank that night when I looked up and saw that fella. I knew he wasn't for her. She didn't listen to me. I tried to preach some warnings like I'm preaching to you tonight. She didn't listen. She's been back to my office at least that many times with a heart broken and life ruined and wrecked. Just like you're going to be if you don't listen to what I'm telling you tonight. I don't have a bunch of pet things I'm trying to fight or things that I want you to do that are fun. I want you to live a happy life. I want you to have a life that's joyous, and I don't want you someday have little boys and girls following dad down to the tavern and your heart is broken because your husband takes your kids down to the tavern and there's beer in your icebox and cussing in your house and dirty magazines in your magazine shelf and dirty books on your book rack and every kind of division and hellishness that came from Satan and hell in your home, and you're trying to rear some kids to become decent and your heart is broken. I don't want that kind of life for you. If you've got any sense at all, you listen to me. I could keep on talking about illustration after illustration. Now then, I want to warn the third crowd tonight. You said, you just warned the girls? Yeah, it's usually the girls that run with the wrong crowd. You know why? Because a fella can choose. One of you guys here on the front row tonight can just look over the girls at the college and just go to one and say, oh, I'd like to have a date with you. But to be proper, she shouldn't do that. She's stuck till you ask her. And she's probably stuck after you ask her, too. Now, I'm going to make somebody mad because I love you. Now, I'm going to be like Paul in the sense that I'm going to make you my enemy because I tell you the truth. I'm concerned about the girls in our church who are considering and accepting jobs. It is a dangerous thing, moms and dads, to let your daughters accept jobs where the crowds gather. I can count five of the choicest young ladies we had tonight, and I mean, if I call the names, you'd know the names of the families, their people,
famous and renowned in this congregation, whose daughters were as sweet and as pure as anybody else's daughters. I can count five of them tonight who are gone into sin. I'm in the Lord's elect.
Unless a miracle takes place just because they got jobs in places like McDonald's, Burger Chef, where crowds hang out.
Well, you said now, Brother Howells, I can work there and they won't influence me. They did before you started to work there. That's why you wore the slacks to work the first day. You said, I don't want change. You had to change to go to work.
Now, moms and dads, listen to me for a minute. Your daughters are going to be the object of flirting.
You say, well, why?
Because we got the best girls in the world. That's why.
Listen, I was in the army. I know. Listen, I don't care how wicked the guy was. I don't care how many affairs he had. I don't care how many gals he took to motel rooms on weekends. I don't care how many nude pictures he had on the wall of the barracks. I don't care how many dirty stories he had. I don't care how filthy his mouth was. I don't care how vulgar he was. Every man I ever saw in the service said, when I get married, I want a pure woman.
Well, where are they going to find pure women around this area? Huh? Where are they going to find them? I'll bind you that 75% of every virgin in this city, or this area, who's over 15 or 16 years of age, attends the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. I can't prove that, but I know something about what's going on. I counsel too many thousands of people a year.
Now, where is this guy who has been the wrecker of decency and the shatterer of dreams and the one who's broken down
the decency and the chastity of young ladies? Where is he going to look if he's going to find him a decent gal? You know where he's going to look. He's going to look where decent gals hang out, and here they are. We got more decent gals in this room tonight than you got Lake County, Indiana, total, outside this building. Okay, moms and dads, go ahead. Send it up to work at a drive-in or at a restaurant where hundreds and hundreds of fellows come in every day. Pour them in a pair of slacks. They'll see more unconverted boys in one day than they'll see in a whole week. They're converted. Don't be surprised when they fall in love with one of them. I can count five of them tonight. That's where it started. I won't call names, won't give you any ideas or hints, but listen. You know when it's going to be a good day for some of you dads and moms? When you believe me. It's going to be a good day for you. Well, you say, we just don't agree. Okay, it's your kid. It's your heart. Break it if you want to. But it's a pretty sad commentary when your preacher's got more burden about the decency in your daughter than you do. I'm willing to make myself a fool. I'm willing to make myself hated. I'm willing to lose church members and be cursed for the decency of your daughter. Why don't you care a little bit? Well, you say, I won't change. Oh, you're a better Christian than Peter, aren't you? Peter was the best Christian in the world. Peter was the best disciple of the 12. Peter was always the first one listed. Peter was the one who preached the great sermon on Pentecost. Peter was one of the chosen three who walked with Jesus in the inner circle. He warmed by the devil's fire and started cussing in just a few minutes. Well, you say, I
change. Oh, you're better Christian than Solomon, aren't you? Solomon, the wisest man in the whole world. Solomon! The son of the greatest king that ever sat on the throne of Israel. Solomon! He got in the wrong crowd, went with the wrong girls, married them. They turned his heart toward idolatry, and Solomon fell from his splendor to shame. He fell from the lofty perch of glory and honor to the degradation of shame and defeat. So I won't change. Abraham did. He's the father of the faithful. He did. I won't change. Lot did. I won't change. Naomi did. I won't change. Jehoshaphat did. I won't change. Yes, you will. Listen. Man is so constructed that he cannot be in a certain environment without taking some of that environment on himself. You can no more go in the wrong crowd and not change than you can go in the water and not take some water outside when you get out of the pool. When you go through the fire, you're going to have some fire on you and you're going to smell like smoke. When you get in the water, you are going to get wet. When you get out in the sun, you're going to get sunburned, and there is no way in this world that man can put himself in any particular stimulus without that stimulus leaving an effect on him. There's no way in this world you can go with the wrong boy, go with the wrong girl, run with the wrong crowd, go to the wrong church, and not be affected by it adversely. Let me leave something else with you tonight, and that's this. Parents, when your daughter goes with a boy who goes to a church that's less than what it ought to be, don't you allow them to, or your son either, don't allow them to swap off services. Say, well, we'll go to his church Sunday morning and your church Sunday night. You say, well, I won't do anything that's wrong. If you run with the wrong crowd, that in itself is doing something that's wrong. But you say, well, the house, he says he's saved. Oh, come on. Have you fallen for that? He says he's saved. To get you, he'd say he was sanctified and called to preach. Do you mean you believe that old baloney? Baloney is a Greek word that means malarkey. Do you mean you believe that? You've fallen for that little jazz. He says he's saved. Well, ask him to go soul winning with you and let him win the first one. Brother, if he is saved, you won't have to ask him if he is saved, and folks won't have to look and say, wonder what that is she just drug in. Do you know, our dog brings in better looking dead rats than some of you gals bring into these services. You say, you're talking about my boyfriend? You're the one that described him. I didn't think about it. You brought him up. Man, I mean, it's unbelievable to think that you bring this guy, look like they're looking through mops. Look like they just fell in the garbage can and the can's on top of them upside down and all the junk's hanging off. Well, he says he's saved. Listen. A fellow that lived like he lives may as well add lying to his wickedness. And not only that, being saved is not the only qualification for the kind of boy you ought to marry or go with. But you say, well, the hands, He says that when we get married, well, I can go to whatever church I want to go to. He wouldn't stop me from my religion for anything in the whole world.
I've heard that song and dance too. But he dances to a different stanza after the wedding day. He got you then. You wait till you try to roll that big old carcass out of bed on Sunday morning. You wait till you pull that grass he's got growing down his eyes back and look at him. That's why a lot of you go choose these guys. You never have seen them yet. You're going to be amazed how they're going to look when you have to pull that drapery back and look through. You better listen to me. You better hear me. Some of you adults tonight, what reason your girls and boys in the wrong crowd? Because you're in the wrong crowd. And your kids have as much right to go in the wrong crowd as you do. Remember, but nothing. I've seen it till I'm sick of it. I've lived with it for over a quarter of a century. I'm tired of our Sunday school teachers sacrificing and laboring and weeping and visiting and teaching and training. And our school teachers doing the same thing. And I'm tired of some of those of us who preach giving our lives for your decency to try to make something out of you. And have some mop turned upside down come and shake your decency and shake your faith and ruin your life. I know where you're headed. I know it. I know it. I know it. Listen. I've seen it, and I do not know yet of a young lady who's come back, who's grabbed a guy that's not converted or belongs to some liberal denomination or doesn't cut his hair or doesn't have enough respect to wear a tie when he goes to church. They don't come back and say, Brother Hiles, we're so happy in the Lord. He kept all his promises. He kept all his promises. Never say that. Sweet. Here's what they do. Sweet, precious little girls who grew up from that high in our Sunday school and church come back to my office. A baby sometimes in each arm. Or one little child walking the baby she's carrying to the office. Sits down across from me and says, Preacher, it didn't work out. I've seen their bruises. I've seen the stitches on their faces. I've seen them come to my office and say, Brother Hyatt, what can I do? My little baby is going to be confirmed in the Catholic Church next Sunday morning. You say, what's so bad about that? There's a heap bad about that. And every dream they ever had for their future and every dream that their mother and dad had, every dream their Sunday school teachers had, and every dream their pastor had has gone right down the drain. You know why, usually? He was all you could get. He was all you could get. Or you got in the wrong crowd. I could point tonight all over this room. All over this room I could point. I could stand up, Mom, stand up, Dad, and tell them. I won't do it, but I could. And they'd tell you. They'd walk right up here. There are dozens of them in this room right now who would say, listen to him, listen to him, listen to him, listen to him. He's right. I could bring them out of this room tonight. But I think with the dozens, who had testified that you shouldn't let your girl go to work in a place where the crowds hang out. Our kids don't have to go to the devil. There's no excuse for it, no reason for it. Let me see if I can say something here and say it right without being misunderstood. If your daughter, Brother Fisk, decides she wants to marry Brother Vineyard's son, boy, I'd hate to have to look at that old Thanksgiving table every once a year, wouldn't you? And let's suppose that John is just not your pick for your daughter. Now, I happen to think John's a fine guy, a good guy. Or let's suppose, Brother Vineyard, that Brother Fisk's daughter is not your pick for your son. Now, you be wise not to let her know about that. Because if you try to stand in the way, unless you've got a pretty good rapport, sometimes you'll drive them to a premature meeting at the altar. But that doesn't go for the heathen. You do everything you can to stand in the way. Holler, kick, cry, scream, lock them in the bathroom. Everything you can do. You do it. You do it. Say, well, I'll drive them together. I don't think it would, but I'll be honest with you. Most of them are already together by that time. People often say, well, he's not what we had in mind. He's not converted, and he takes a little drink every once in a while, but we've accepted him. And if my girl's going to marry somebody that's going to take her to the devil, I'd 10,000 times rather her do it after I've done everything I could within my power to keep her from it than to have accepted it. I probably shouldn't say this, and I'm going to be sorry when I get through, but I'm going to enjoy it while I'm saying it. My sister's a wonderful Christian lady. But I recall one night she smoked a cigarette. Mama, you remember that? My sister came home with tobacco on her breath. She was a teenage girl. You never heard such carryings on in your life. It's like that Negro lady in Mississippi whose husband died, and they came and told her she had eaten a watermelon, and they told her, your husband just dropped dead. She just kept on eating her watermelon. They said, look, your husband died. He's dead. She just kept on eating her watermelon. And they said, hey, your husband is dead. She said, I know it, and whenever I get through with this watermelon, you ain't never heard such carryings on as I was going to do either. Now, you ain't never heard such carryings on as my mama did that night. Let me see if I can act it out. My daughter. My daughter. My daughter. I mean, she's in bed. My daughter, my daughter, my daughter. Oh, Lord, what have I done? Oh, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? Oh, Lord, I wish I'd never lived. I wish you'd never lived. I wish you'd die now. Oh! All night long. All night long. You ever want to get a little attention from my mother, just smoke a cigarette. You'll get it. You'll get it. All night long.
Mrs. Al Capone never got so sad about her son. John Dillinger was never as wicked as my sister was that one night. We need some of that. We need some of it. Like one little 4-year-old boy in our church went to his grandmother's house just smoking a cigarette. He said, "You're a devil woman." She said, "Who said that?" He said, "Brother Hiles." Now, you know I've never said that. But I didn't cry much because he said it. You know why? He's going to have to smooth that off and polish it a little bit. And he's got to get a little tact to go with that. But he's leaning in the right direction about smoking. I mean, I don't think he likes it. That's what we need. So, well, if you believe that way, you'll never reach any sinners. Oh. I'll declare. The truth is, sinners respect a guy that preaches like I'm preaching tonight. They know they're wrong. They know they're not happy. And if they don't respect him, they'll all preach the truth. And the truth is, God's people are supposed to be courteous and kind to the unconverted, but they're supposed to run with the right crowd. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Come ye out from among them, and be ye separate. It's God's command. Nobody's ever turned out good and happy disobeying God. He knows more about what will make you happy than you do. When God told you not to run with the wrong crowd, he knew what he's talking about. And you're heading for heartbreak down the road. Let us pray. You've been in the wrong crowd? You've been in the wrong crowd? There ought to be some young ladies come down this aisle tonight, and some young men come down this aisle tonight and make some decisions that will affect your life for the good as long as you live on this earth. There ought to be some moms and dads tonight that have not been in the wrong crowd. Come down and make some decisions that will help you and yours as long as